I'm hoping that Professor Howard Griffiths is going to serve up a win for the team. We really need one, Howard. And now, Howard, why are you wandering around with what looks like the contents of a cornfield?
Well, it is the contents of a cornfield. And what I'd like to do is hand out some of these to some of these youngsters here.
What are you dishing out?
Well, I'm giving out some ears of wheat that I collected from a field. And it illustrates... How many of you like toast for breakfast?
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, wheat is a staple product of the world. It feeds and it gives us a huge amount of protein. And the ears that I'm holding up in front of you contain little grains. And those little grains, if you can pull them apart and have a look, those are the seeds of the wheat. And having sown one of those seeds in the autumn, the farmer was then able to grow all these ears of wheat. And, well, these are the ones that are left behind that he didn't quite manage to harvest. But
what proportion of the world relies on this simple stuff, this cereal crop, for their food?
A huge proportion of the world relies on this as a staple diet. It's one of the major protein inputs because it's got so much nitrogen in it. And so, but there is a problem with it because over the last 10 or 15 years or so, the yields from wheat have begun to plateau. They've reached a stable level. They're not increasing as much as they used to do over the previous 30 years since the Green Revolution.
Yeah, why is that a problem?
Well, that's a bit of a problem because the world's population is increasing, and also we're likely to get a changing climate in the future, which will mean increasingly crops won't be as productive as they have been in the past.
You're saying then we could be facing a hungry future?
Yes, indeed. And there are other issues that we need to tackle, not just about increasing the productivity of the wheat. We've got to minimise waste. I mean, for instance, these ears I picked up from the farmer hadn't managed to harvest them. And all around the world, there's a huge amount of food waste that we need to try and minimise.
So you stole that?
I helped myself. Yes, it seemed liberated, I think, is the word we tend to use. And also, of course, we've got to improve our distribution of these sorts of foodstuffs so that it helps people who don't have food, but also doesn't destroy their economies by distributing it in a way that would upset the national product of a particular country.
So we have a situation where yields of this very important food crop are not going up. The human population is going up. We also anticipate that the environment's going to change because of things like climate change, so that may also dent the yield.
Yeah.
So what's your solution?
Well, there are other sorts of plants. Now, how many of you like cornflakes? Yeah. Oh, there's... Yeah?
I'd say Kellogg's are not doing very well in this room. There's only about two or three hands up.
There are other versions of cornflakes are available from your local supermarket, you do realise. So cornflakes are made from maize, corn cob. Do you all know what a corn cob looks like? Each of those little granules on a corn cob, that's where your cornflakes come from. Now, they come from a plant that actually have a higher rate of productivity. And they've got what we call a kind of, well, we turbocharged. So naturally, this is a plant that has managed to increase its productivity by force feeding the enzyme that fixes carbon from the atmosphere.
This energy that comes to us from wheat, we get effectively from the sun, don't we? Because this plant captures the energy in the sun through the process of photosynthesis, and it stores it chemically in a form that we can then eat.
Absolutely. Plants are magnificent. When you think they take that amazing energy we get from sunlight for free and they turn it into the products that they feed us, they clothe us. How many of you have got cotton, wearing cotton at the moment? And they also fuel us. If you came in a car, that's fuel that was laid down by plants millions and millions and millions of years ago.
How can we therefore make that plant better at being a natural solar panel then?
Well, one bit way would be to try to take that pathway that we get in sweet corn and maize and encourage staple crops like wheat or rice to see if we could adopt that pathway into them as well.
Right, so basically take what the maize is really good at and confer that same science on the wheat. Why doesn't the wheat do that already?
It hasn't had to because it evolved in a kind of a wet and cool environment, and whereas crops like maize come from a tropical environment where it's hot and often water limited. And so that's the advantages of that crop as well as having this turbocharger.
How can you put this turbocharger, as you put it, into the wheat? Is that feasible?
That is a real problem because it means that we would have to find wheat that have a slightly different structure within their leaves which would allow us to put that pathway in. So we have an alternative solution. And that alternative solution, you can see here, I'm holding up a vial of green cells.
I thought it was a urine specimen. Look, it's one of those pots the doctor gives you, Howard. Is that
Chris, if your urine has got that colour, I think you do need to see a doctor.
I did have a patient with that once, and he was on a certain drug that made his wee go green. But why does it look green then? What's in that? pot?
Well, this has got a microscopic alga in it. It actually grows in soil and solutions. Many of you have got buckets in your gardens that have been gathering water all over the winter. I bet they've gone a bit green, haven't they? Yeah? So that alga is all very close relatives of it, are the sorts of things that grow in ponds and in buckets and in soil.
And they're plants, are they?
They are plants indeed. They're related to plants. And they also have a mechanism which turbocharges their photosynthesis. And they do it in every single cell. So what we're wondering is, they have a much simpler mechanism for concentrating that carbon dioxide and improving the efficiency of the enzyme. Could we try to persuade all the cells in a plant like wheat, if they could adopt that mechanism, and maybe that would improve their photosynthesis, and that would help us increase that yield of wheat and rice and so on by 10 or 20%, which is what we will need to do over the next 50 to 100 years.
You're saying take the machinery from the stuff that makes the pots in your garden go green and put that into wheat, and it would be like putting a Porsche engine into a larder.
Indeed, that is the sort of idea, yes. Yeah. I hadn't quite thought of it like that. But
is it feasible?
It is feasible. We have actually managed to get parts, little microscopic components that help to pump the carbon inside the cell walls of the alga to work inside plants.
And if you do this, what sort of increase in productivity of normal wheat might we be able to see?
Well, we would hope to see perhaps a 15% increase in wheat yields, I would imagine, would be the sort of thing that would maintain that stability for the future. In the short term, of course, we're going to rely on traditional genetics, traditional breeding that will help to bring in new traits and help to maintain pathogen resistance. But in the future, perhaps we could get away with this mechanism.
For Team Smith, Howard Griffiths. You're listening to The Naked Scientist. I'm Chris Smith, and he is Chris Berrow.